You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What can I say?
It is a power lunch on a Tuesday here with two of my favorite older brothers, maybe uncles, I don't know. Steve Buckhantz, longtime former Channel 5 sports director, and now sometimes voice of his beloved James Madison Dukes.
Absolutely.
Right? And
that's right.
Former voice of the Wizards for many years. And, of course, Chris Nockey, the still color analyst for the Maryland Terrapin basketball team.
Yes, sir.
New team, new year. Who dis?
Oh, man, crazy.
Got to get a scorecard to know the players because that old team that went to the Sweet 16, they gone.
They should have name tags.
They gone.
Don't they have names on the back of their
– I mean, it's –
Alex is our server today. Alex, how are you? Give me a shake there. We're going to order live on the podcast because we're such veterans here, okay? And then we're going to take a break for soup because nobody wants to hear Buckhand slurping his soup. And no, the oysters are not included in the power lunch, but I will buy them myself, Buck. So please, make yourself happy today, shall you?
Well, that's very nice of you. And it's clams, not oysters, but that's okay.
It's all the same stuff. Alex, I'd like to start with a cup of the lobster bisque. Thank you very much. And then I will have the wonderful 6-ounce center cut filet medium rare with a splash of fries, no vegetables. You know how I roll. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I will have what he's having, but I want the vegetables.
Okay. All right. Very good. Lovely. Nicely done. It's okay to cheat on my homework. I don't care.
I do the soup as well with no parsley on it, please.
Oh, you baby.
And maybe this penne alla vodka with no parsley on it. The chefs like to put parsley on everything. I'm not sure what that is.
Parsley.
No parsley on anything.
No parsley.
Chicken or anything on it?
Yeah. How about, do they have any sausage back there?
No sausage.
Okay.
Sausage?
Chicken would be fine.
Chicken?
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not a Jimmy Dean's. I mean, this is the palm.
This is the palm. You should be able to order what you
sausage.
Want here. So here's your new open for your show.
Yes, it's good to be with the boys. Yes, new open.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight.
Isn't this the Twilight Zone?
A dimension of mind. You pass through the world of another wonder, shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Zabin Zone.
That's awesome. And that's a verbatim riff on the Twilight Zone.
Rod Serling, my
boy. That is brilliant.
One of your favorites.
Still a brilliant show.
And on every night on the Emmy Network.
Oh, is it really?
Oh,
what time is that on?
It comes on around, I want to say, maybe 10 o'clock, right before two episodes of Alfred Hitchcock.
Wow. Nice.
Favorite Twilight Zone of all time.
Yeah. Just watched it last night.
What?
Two nights ago. William Shatner in the airplane.
Oh, the airplane.
When he sees the guy out on the...
The guy or the gremlin?
The gremlin.
Yeah, mine is To Serve Man. You ever see that one?
Well, I'm sure I did. I've seen them all. Which one is
that's
that
one? That's when these aliens come in from outer space.
Yeah, and they
this is really good for the pod.
And the woman's up on the thing, and she thinks it's they're aliens, but they're...
They're there to serve man.
Right.
And so they go through this episode where they're all being flown back up to the home planet, to the aliens' planet, and then one guy finally deciphers the book that they had left. He knew the title was To Serve Man. He comes in, and he says... I just discovered this book. It's a cookbook.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Great ending.
The other one is when the spacecraft goes up and the woman, and she's like a giant, and she's beating the spacecraft, and she beats it to death and breaks it all up, and it turns out it's the U.S. Air Force.
Yeah, right.
Listen, we have listeners of all desirable demographics, and I can assure you we will get an email from at least one listener who's like, oh, my God, I'm a super Twilight Zone fan. Next time you have on Buckhantz, ask him about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, let me tell, for all your younger listeners, if they've never seen The Twilight Zone or don't know what it's all about, it was a classic, iconic show, and they should tune in and check it out.
Yeah.
Because Rod Serling was iconic.
I wasn't a huge fan, but the one that I liked the most was when the guy throws a quarter into the box,
and it lies
in the newspaper box and lands on its edge,
yeah.
And the whole world goes sideways until it finally falls over.
Yeah. Then there's the other one where when the guy, he drops, he has a stopwatch.
Yep.
And when he clicks it, the world stops.
Yep.
It freezes.
Ooh.
And he figures, oh, my God. So he goes into a bank. He's get all his money. He's pulling it out. And he drops the stopwatch, and it cracks the face. and everything is frozen for time, all of time. It's a great episode.
Oh, look at the soup. I love how the lobster bisque here at the Palm comes low tide style. You know, where they show you the lobster that
real
is
lobster in there. Yep.
And you know, we didn't ask
the tide
Alex.
Comes in.
Did they get any stone crabs in yet, Alex?
Yeah. Oh,
man.
All right, Buck, two things. Yeah. One, this is not Joe's in South Beach. Again, no, it's not Bob Evans. It's not Joe's. They don't have sausage, stone crabs. Secondly, stone crabs suck. They're the worst of the premium delicacy crabs.
Someone needs to enlighten Mr. Zabin. Someone needs to enlighten him about Joe's Stone Crabs in Miami, which is one of the most productive restaurants in all of the country.
I understand they're popular. I'm just telling you they're ass.
Well, they're not ass.
They're not quote-unquote ass.
You can only fish for them 6 months out of the year. It just started October 15th. It'll be over May 15th. That's the only time you can have them because when they pull them out of the water, they take a claw off of the crab and throw it back into the water. And over the 6 months, it regenerates a new claw. That's why you can only fish for them 6 months out of the year.
Okay, but the actual crab itself is not flavorful. Served cold and has a stringy texture to it that falls apart and requires like a bandsaw to get the claws open. They're so hard.
This is a guy who, you know,
he's not been out a lot.
I've had them. In my ranking of crab, it is in the also receiving votes category, which is not top 25.
Wow. Boy,
it's King 1, it is Maryland Blue 2. It is probably Dungeness 3.
No, Dungeness is way on the bottom. The people out there don't even
okay,
know.
Okay, maybe snow crab. I don't know.
No, snow crab's not in the whole thing.
All right, we'll deal with the crab later.
Snow
Let's
crab
go ahead.
Is the lobster of crab.
We're going to eat our soup, and then we're going to talk about the 18-inning World Series game number 3 that I stayed up to watch the very end of.
And I did, too.
I made it to the 14th. Wait, you stayed up the whole time?
Well, when you're unemployed and deep into the whiskey, why wouldn't you?
You got nothing else to do.
You know, today, Tuesday's like Saturday. Saturday's like Wednesday. It's all the same these days.
So you stop it at the ABC store on the way home, right?
I definitely need to refill, yes. We'll talk about Freddie Freeman finally ending that game in the 18th inning. We are live here, plausibly speaking, at the Palm in Tyson's Corner. Come on by for a power lunch off their power lunch menu. It is delicious.
You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
All right, we are back. We're right now, we're waiting for our lovely steak lunch here at the Palm, but I was asking some questions that were supposed to be off the record, and they can be on the record. I asked Naki about Bruce Pearl and his decision to step away from basketball, and you said, well, we had him on the pod, and I was like, oh, don't forget to promote the DC Coaches podcast, which is back up and running now for college basketball season.
We record our first episode next week, actually. Okay. Good timing for this.
Perfect.
I think this is season like 9 for us.
Yourself, Gary Williams,
Eddie Tapscott, Gordon Austin, Jimmy Patsos, always kind of the wild card in that. You know, I mean, you put a quarter in Jimmy, you never know what you're gonna.
And he'll talk forever.
Oh man, okay. Yeah.
So on the Pearl front, you joked about how once upon a time Pearl was referred to as the mascot.
No, he was the mascot at Boston College when Gary Williams was coaching there.
Okay,
when we had him on the pod. Like, there was just, you know, and I've known Gary for too long, maybe, but I just felt like Gary had a smirk on his face, like, you motherfucker.
You were the mascot. Now look at you. When was Pearl on the podcast? Recently? Within the last year?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Okay, probably. So at the peak of his...
Oh, they were kicking ass and taking names. Yeah, at Auburn. Yeah.
Okay. And so Gary, deep down, is like, fuck you. You're the mascot once. All right. Yeah. But Bruce Pearl's out now because he got to set up his kid to take over the hardware store, which that always seems slimy to me, even though it's been done before multiple places.
Yeah, multiple places. And by all reports, Pearl's son's supposed to be pretty good. Bruce is a very good basketball coach, and the kid may end up being terrific. I don't know. But the timing of it is, we saw it at Virginia. We saw it at North Carolina where guys leave.
The larger thing was the mascot, and that was when you said to me, you go,
weren't you the mascot?
And I go, yes.
My guy Buck, who I thought had heard every story ever between the three of us, Buck was like incredulous.
He goes, what? And you said, the mascot for who? And I said, the Bullets.
What year was this?
You guys could have been doing the games at the same time.
Tell me what year this was.
This was circa 91.
Okay, no, I didn't start till 97. I was going to say, if I were doing the games and knew you were in that costume, I mean, there's no way. There's no way.
Does photo evidence exist?
Absolutely it does.
We need to see this.
I have a picture of myself in the Hoop. And by the way, that mascot costume was the worst of all time.
Probably. They stink like.
And they're hot.
Oh, well, let me tell you. So the mascot was a basketball head the size of a giant beach ball.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen that.
Like Mr. Matt.
And the body was in the shape of a basketball hoop and net.
Like a snowman.
And then you had legs on it, okay? And so...
Wait, they weren't your legs? Or they?
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying.
It had legs on it. I hope it had legs.
I mean...
So I was briefly
at least
the mascot.
You were at the ass end of a horse or something like that. You know?
Exactly. I need to find it in my photos here. But I have a picture of myself, my sister, and my father in our living room in the Full Hoops mascot. Now, I never made it to the show.
What?
I never made it to the show. I never did a game. I made it as the mascot who would go do
appearances,
community events.
So you were the JV mascot.
Birthday party.
You were the JV mascot.
I did 3 events as Hoops. You ready? I did the open. I did some downtown DC thing at RFK Stadium in the parking lot in June. I nearly died.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
And there were kids kicking me in the shins, throwing stuff at me. I'm like, I can't see what's going on. I'm in the giant mascot uniform. I did a opening for something up at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And then I did a birthday party for a kid in Great Falls.
Was it like Uncle Buck where you showed up after a few whiskeys and then the guy says, you've been drinking, clown? And he punches him in the face. That was hilarious.
Or Will Ferrell in Blades of Glory where he's drinking
I did it because it was $100 cash.
Beautiful.
For appearance.
Okay.
Well, that's good money.
And that was a lot of money to a 21-year-old kid who was just out of college.
So you never actually did it at Capital Center.
I never did the show. I did a fourth appearance. I was there at the cheerleader tryout in downtown DC at the old post office building.
No parsley.
So there was that.
That's no, amazing.
You're not so, sending that back because of the parsley.
Yeah, I can't.
No, you're not.
I'm allergic to the parsley.
You're not allergic. Wait, I'm allergic. Hold on. These are mixed up. That's okay.
Yeah.
Swap.
No,
that
you're not swapping
again.
That out.
Yeah, bullshit. It's easy to swap out. It's hard to get the parsley off your chicken. What? So, yeah, so I never made the show. I don't think I ever wanted to make the show.
Now that you're dusting off your resume.
Okay. Yeah, because I need work now.
Will this go on it? Will the experience as a mascot actually make sense?
Funny you should mention.
I mean, would you actually put that down?
Funny you should mention. I don't even have a resume. Yeah, it's been so long
of
doing
multiple
radio
anymore.
Shows. At this age, I'm like,
nobody has a resume.
Something up.
We don't have a resume anymore. Come on.
All right, let's dig into our food. Buck, your non-parsley
go ahead,
chicken gorgonzola is
about
to
beautiful.
Come back.
Eat.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
But yes, I was the mascot, Hoops. And I will send you a picture when I find it. Does that blow your mind?
No, it's fine.
I want to
I'm like
that.
Ricky Bobby. Does that blow your mind? That was real. That just happened. We're here
that.
At the Palm. It's a power lunch. All right, we are back. And I just witnessed Buckhand send back his beautiful chicken pasta rigatoni with the vodka sauce on it. Back because it had parsley on the chicken, which you specifically said, no parsley. And here at the Palm, they said with a smile, no problem, sir, and they brought you out a brand new fresh plate. They did not just wash the parsley off.
You can't do
well,
that.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, maybe they've got a special parsley removal tool in the pack.
It's a tweezer, and they have to pick out each piece of parsley. You know, if there's any chefs that might be listening, can I just...
There are chefs. We'll get an email.
Can I just say this gently, as you put it?
Yes.
Why do you put parsley on everything? I don't understand it. And to me...
It's a decorative garnish that does carry a subtle flavor note.
It has no flavor at all. And it just
gets
you...
Let me go to grok on
this. It gets in your teeth.
I go to grok for everything
nowadays. And here's what I would say to my friends that are chefs, and some of them are beautiful. I love Chef Jose Andres and all of that. It's not a Christmas tree. It's dinner. Okay, I don't need parsley on it.
Buck has his way.
That's all.
Like, what is it? What the Heinz 57?
Heinz 57.
It can't be A1.
It can't be A1.
It's got to be Heinz 57.
Three feather pillows.
Yeah,
at the hotel.
Yeah. Check under the bed.
Check under the mattress.
Under the mattress. Yeah. You know?
Well, the funny thing is, I'm very much with you. And
same room number from last. I want to stay in the same room I was in last year.
If possible.
Right. If possible. Yeah. I'm very much with you on the anti-parsley, anti-scallions, anti-anything tiny and green.
Right. I don't need it.
I say I don't want grass clippings on my food.
Right. Why?
Right.
Don't need it.
When I go to Chipotle, and I've got one in town.
Well,
in
and they put it in their stuff. They don't.
My friend. I request the white rice, no
cilantro.
That's what it is.
Because that'll ruin
white rice, no cilantro, and they have always on
hand.
You guys
are heathens, man. I mean,
they always have one on hand in a hot box in the back
that
with
has
cellophane on it.
No cilantro in it.
No cilantro in it. And they not only get it for me happily, as I sometimes gum up the military precision of the burrito line that goes
You're
on.
The guy. You're
yes,
the guy.
Yes.
I've been behind you before.
It takes an extra minute. They got to go get the thing, bring it out, peel the cellophane, get a spoon, put it on, put it back. They not only do it happily at this place, but they see me come in the door. And the people that know me already go get the rice by the time I'm up to the counter.
Are they muttering about you as they do this?
No.
Shrek is here.
Right. And you're giving me grief about a little parsley.
Well,
come on.
I'm not giving you grief. It's just that you sent it back.
Well, but I just said, I asked them, and they took it back and brought me
I forged this relationship with the Palm, this all comes
That's
back
okay.
to me.
I eat here enough.
Are you going to hear about this?
Well, I'm just saying there's potential reputational damage from this.
There's no reputational damage.
You're here on my behalf today, and so therefore
I
worry about
it. I got a solution.
I wouldn't worry about it. I got two pictures on the wall here. I wouldn't worry about it.
Two caricatures.
My solution is you just don't pay him for this episode.
That's a good point. Oh, that's right. I don't pay you guys.
Damn.
I pay you in food.
You don't pay us.
And that's more than enough. So there you go. Buck is like, I'm out of here because of that. All right, let's get to the damn baseball game last night. Freddie Freeman in the 18th inning.
I'm texting all my friends, including you guys, and it was
with
funny
a home run to win the
longest
longest game in World Series history.
I bailed. It was like
he
12:30
was done after
or something. Yeah, it was something like that.
And I kept texting all, but I didn't hear back from you because I texted both you guys and said, "Are you guys still watching this?" and you were like, I was done that, you know, yeah. I'm done. And most of my friends, nobody stayed up. I thought I was the only one that was up. I was surprised.
I think I hit you with a text or two along the way. I was also tweeting about it. Like, when Kershaw came in, I said, oh, look out. He's going to give up a moon shuttle.
I thought so, too.
That's Kershaw's fate,
yep.
Given that he's all world in his career, and he's been ass in October for reasons nobody really understands.
He also's got that Grizzly Adams look working now.
He's got gray beard.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is they said that this was likely his last at-bat in his career.
Right, could have been his last pitch.
And I'm like, are you sure you're not going to want to use him again in another spot? Like, why would they say he's done? It's only three games into the World Series, best of seven. But I guess I missed that narrative. Also, one of their better relievers, Vesia, is out on a personal issue, which, don't get me started on that. It's a very serious personal issue, they say, with he and his wife. But it's the World Series. Can you not work on both at the same time?
Yeah,
they need his arm in that bullpen.
Yeah, they do.
Davis had a great line. I thought it was really funny. And the more I listened to him, I mean, he's really, really solid, obviously.
I have
him
some thoughts on Joe Davis. Yes, go ahead.
He had a great line, and it was when he said, when this game started, Will Klein was clean-shaven.
That's good.
I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah. Will Klein was the last reliever standing for the Dodgers, and he got four innings of work in when he hadn't pitched that much all year. This is Klein's journey this year in baseball. He started the season on the Oakland A's organizational roster, didn't make the big club, got sent down to AAA, then got brought up, then got dealt. I'm looking where I read this today, but basically he's been all over the place, and there he was in the biggest spot having to bail out the $330 million team in L.A. in a very tight game in the World Series. That's baseball, Naki. Well, that's what's so beautiful about this
sport. There's no question, and it also underscores to me the difference between those that make it and those that don't sometimes it's just opportunity, but it's just so small, you know, right place, right time, you know, getting an opportunity to, you know, like you said, he wasn't in the bigs.
No,
he wasn't in the bigs to start the season. Now he's a hero.
So here's why I stayed up past the 15th inning. I'm trying to count the innings.
Yep.
Because according to Rosenthal, he talked to Dave Roberts in between innings and said, so if this goes another inning, what's your plan? He said, Klein can give us one more.
Right.
He said, then after that.
I don't know.
No, he said, after that, it'll be a position player. I just don't know who.
Right.
And unreal. I said, oh, shit, I got to stay up for this.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to see some positional slappy throw 74 miles an hour of junk over the plate to get taken out
professional hitters.
Right, taken out to Sepulveda Boulevard by Vladdy Jr. Like, I'm staying up for that one.
Yeah.
It never happened because Klein stretched and reached and gave him four. And then Freeman, they had two balls that went to the warning track. They had a throw out at home.
The
they had a throw out
to be
at
getting
third.
So tired. That's what I kept waiting for Smoltz to say, is that these guys, as good as they are at this point, their arm has to be just about done. And it's only a matter of time because they're pitching batting practice at this point.
Right.
Have we normalized Shohei Ohtani and how
good he
is? He was on base 9 times in the game.
Yes.
He also hit the most predictable clutch homer last night. It's like the 8th inning to tie it, right, to force extras.
Yeah. 415 to left center. Meatball left right over the plate.
Opposite field, and it's like the one time they should never pitch to them.
No.
After that, they just said. Yeah.
Well, he had 4 intentional walks.
Yeah.
Which I know is a World Series record that will never be beaten again.
Unless
Barry Bonds.
They play another 15 innings tonight.
Bonds might have had 2 or 3 intentional walks the one World Series he played in, because the Angels didn't want any part of him.
So right before, I swear to God, and I'm going to show you this text, I'm texting with Phil Chenier, who was also up watching this whole thing. This is literally when Freddie Freeman came to the plate. That's what I texted him. Look at the time.
Going to bed, me too.
No.
Oh, okay, hang in there. One of the Dodgers is going to jack one out. Knew it. 2:51 a.m.
That's literally 10 seconds before Freeman hit the home run.
That's pretty good by Phil.
Kreskin.
No, that was me texting him.
Oh, okay.
I said somebody's jacking one out here.
Can I see the rest of your text? Because you probably called that 4 or 5 times.
No, I didn't. I did.
That was the, so you finally realized somebody is hitting one out.
Got it right.
He actually sent me what was a fake story about Scott Foster. Did you see that?
No.
Scott Foster, NBA referee from Annapolis, Maryland, still doing it?
Yeah. It was all bullshit. It's
breaking news from Shams Charania, fake news. FBI agents closed in to arrest Scott Foster at 6 a.m. local time outside his home in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Silver Springs.
We know that.
So you know right away. It's,
right. Yeah. Foster is being charged with manipulating game outcomes for most of his 30-year tenure. While being arrested, Foster blurted out, "Did Chris Paul put you up?"
That's actually funny.
It's funny.
I mean, yeah, I know he's your boy. Yeah. So, okay.
And then ESPN came out and said, "Look, this is bullshit. Come on, this is a fake story." But that's what Phil sent me. And we both were like, "Nah, this is not real." And I said, "You're still up." He said, "Yeah, we're watching the game." And that's when I hit this. One of the Dodgers is going to jack one out 10 seconds before Freeman hit the home run.
Well, you're Nostradamus, maybe, because a lot of people were saying a lot of things that may or may not have come true. That said, it was incredible theater. I tweeted earlier on in the game, I'm like, you know, it's almost midnight. Hell of a game going on right here.
Almost midnight.
Yeah. And some smartass goes, "What, do you want to start the games at 5? I'm like, "You dick." 7, though, would go a long way.
Yeah.
They shouldn't start at 8. They should start at 7. What about the West Coast? Fuck the West Coast. You choose to live there for a reason. The world works on East Coast time, okay? And so it was a great game that was winding its way towards midnight on a school night, and I'm just thinking, they got to figure this out. Because baseball in the postseason is so good.
It's riveting.
The drama is so intense.
The Mariners Blue Jays series was fantastic.
Yes.
Was that the one that went 15 innings? Because I watched that one.
It went seven games.
Which playoff game went 15 innings? I watched it. I was in Harrisonburg for a Madison football game, and it was Friday night, and I want to say it was either Seattle or Toronto, and it went 15 innings.
Not sure which one it was. Yeah.
Yep.
So I tweeted out. Playoff ghost runner in the 12th? Anybody? No? Okay, I'm going to go to bed. A lot of people hate the ghost runner, the Manfred man, as they call it, Rob Manfred's fake runner in the 10th in the regular season. I think it makes perfect sense. There is no reason to be burning up pitchers on a Tuesday night in Miami between the Marlins and the Rockies, right?
Right.
That you should get the game over with. I got no problem with it regular season. Now, in the postseason, no, I want the game to play out. But would you be opposed to, say, after 12 innings, then invoking the runner on second?
I think you leave it as is.
To be honest with you,
that's just me. But you said something earlier that I wanted to touch on. While I love baseball, postseason baseball in particular,
yeah.
The notion that the Dodgers have a $351 million payroll.
Pre-tax.
And the Blue Jays have a $255 million payroll.
Yep.
Tells me the sport is ultimately rigged. You can't compete if you're a the reason the NFL is the NFL is because Green Bay can be great.
Right. Right.
And like it's inherently flawed to me if you have no cap. And no revenue sharing.
I know. Well, this is, and you got to have a salary floor as well to keep the Pittsburghs from just not spending any money.
That's why I was kind of rooting. I was hoping Milwaukee would break through. I didn't even know what their payroll is. I can just promise you it's a third of what the Dodgers is probably, you know?
It was like 18th in the bigs. It was in the 150 range.
Yeah.
So it was not inexpensive. But they had no shot, and they got completely routed.
Yeah.
As a Nats fan, it kills me to sit there and watch, like, Alex Call, who got a base hit in the extra
games. Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, former Nats, Scherzer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
all over.
Can't believe
Scherzer's still doing it, isn't
he? Scherzer's bizarre.
Scherzer, because of the deferred payments he gets from four different teams this year, is making $72 million this year.
God, I hope he can eat.
$72 million, and 15 of that is from the Nets.
That's almost as much as Kurt Cignetti.
That's right.
We're going to get to Cignetti in a second. So are you willing to flush the entire 2027 baseball season to get a salary cap? Because they're saying that's what may happen. That the war this time, at pretty much the baseball tectonic plates. You and I are old enough to remember 94 and how bad it was.
Right.
And that only took out a chunk of the season. took out a chunk of the following season as well, but it took out a World Series,
right?
94.
And people came back, even though everybody said, oh, I'm not watching that anymore. Of course they come back.
It took the stock market. It took Cal Ripken breaking the record,
right.
And it also took steroids.
It took Sosa and McGuire tearing him back,
but it brought him back.
But it is like the stock market. It tanks, and it's like people freak out. And then eventually it comes back. It just always comes back. That's what history shows.
Right.
We saw the tectonic plates in Philadelphia this year when Manfred goes into the Phillies locker room starts to talk about the future of the sport.
And Bryce Harper motherfucks him.
Stood up and called him every name in the book.
Yeah.
You know, and say, I know what I'm worth, you know?
And now Bryce Harper's in his feels because Dombrowski said, well, we'll see if he returns to being an elite player. And he got all pissy about that.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's trade talk now. I came to Philly because I wanted to avoid all that. I love this city. I love this team. I'm like, buddy, wake up.
Yeah.
It's pro sports, pal.
I think you see the future. I think you're absolutely spot on.
As a fan, as a general fan.
I'm for it.
So you'd be willing to sacrifice all.
100%.
It's going to hurt.
I would too, but I'm not a purist baseball fan. I love the game and I watch all the Nats games.
Neither am I.
But I would forego the season. It wouldn't bother me that much. There needs to be more regulation in this sport. I mean,
I'm a regular season casual. Do you know how sucky June, July, and August would be without baseball?
You'd be watching a lot of golf, and you already are.
And playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I love golf, but I don't want to watch that much.
Yeah.
I want to watch some baseball. I want it to be on. So a buddy of mine once said, baseball's boring, but it happens a lot.
No, I agree. And I agree. And I'll sit there all summer long and watch the Nats. I'll watch them all summer.
The benefit of it is, in the future, on the other side of that shitty summer, the Nats are going to be able to compete. The teams that you like are going to be able to compete. Well, I mean, you have to probably get new owners. And I know we're here at Tyson's Corner, there's a home base.
The building
of the
is managed. This is where the learners are.
Right? Learners own this building. Yes,
I get it. But that's a problem.
Yeah, I did love as well. And I tweeted this. There was they had a replay shot. Fox did of Kershaw's wife and daughter, their family as he was out there for a very high leverage out. I mean, bases loaded. Well, 12th inning, 13th inning, whatever it was. And they're all just wrapping each other up, and they're all nervous, and yay, and they're celebrating. And I just put myself viscerally what it must be like to be them, seeing their husband or their dad in that moment.
Yeah.
And just pulling for him, living and dying with him, the nerves. Because like I said, I thought he was going to give up a moon shuttle, and it'd be like, oh, Scherzer sucks. Instead, he got an out. He got a ground ball out.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. The production of these World Series games is phenomenal.
Tremendous.
Phenomenal. The super slow-mo, the slides. Like, there was a couple of bang-bang plays last night. One play at third base where Guerrero made. And
replay overturned that. Replay fixed that one.
Yeah.
It fixed a couple of them.
But replay didn't fix the out at first. And I don't know why. I'm like, he was clearly out. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Not enough evidence. I'm like, you're not watching the same thing I'm watching.
Once the ball goes into the glove, and even John Smoltz mentioned it. You could see it flap a little bit. It's tough once the ball goes into the glove as to when it actually makes contact with the leather.
Sure, sure.
That's how close it gets. But you're right. The production was great. But this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. Isn't it funny how all of this stuff has evolved? All of the camera. How about the camera on the field? 20 years ago, not only would they have not allowed a camera on the field, but they would have said, turn off your lights because we can't see, the umpires can't see, the center fielder can't see. They now allow that moving camera on the field during play.
Well, the human-operated orbit cam that's got the steady harness on it.
Yes, yes.
Not quite during play.
Yes. When a guy's rounding the bases on a home run, he's in the field of play.
Yeah, but the ball isn't in the field of play.
No, right.
The ball was not.
Still, it's happening during the game. The guy's rounding the bases.
I agree, and I think it's awesome, but it's only in dead ball situations. If the ball is live, they won't let him on the field.
Right.
They may let him somewhere near the base pass, but on a live ball, it could go anywhere.
Well, when you say a live ball, during play, not when the balls being pitched.
Post home run, they let that guy do the orbit cam for the hero shot as he comes home, and it's great television.
I'm not saying it's not great, but you would have never seen that before. And even when a guy's coming to the plate,
well, they're
he's
talking
out there.
They're talking to managers during the game in the World Series.
Right.
That used to be something you would never
do it. And in basketball side and in football at halftime, the sideline reporter, it used to be that not only did they not allow that, but coaches were so short with everybody.
They still are.
The best example, of course, is Greg Popovich, who was an asshole to everybody except Craig Sager. And nobody wanted to talk to him. But when the coaches and these programs, not so much the coaches, but when the universities and the pro sports franchises realized that this was better for them, mm-hmm. not bad for them, but would enhance their whole aura, that they realized, okay, this is going to be good and we'll do it. We'll let you do it. And the coaches, like when they interview, some of these coaches that didn't like to talk to anybody. Not only would they be cordial to the reporter, they'd answer their questions because they knew that in a situation like that, one-on-one with a national spotlight, if you're short like Popovich was, then you'd look like an asshole.
Yeah.
And they don't want to look like it. They want to look good now.
Right. Right.
And so that's all changed. They never would allow that.
Also,
before.
10 years ago, Buck, nobody had ever heard of FanDuel. Now the money that those – you know, the places like FanDuel pay for advertising during these games is absurd.
They're everywhere, all the time. Yeah, the whole betting thing, that's
we'll
crazy.
Get into that in a second. I want to talk about Joe Davis for a second.
Okay.
Joe Davis is objectively excellent. Objectively elite. Strong, clean voice, loves the game, knows the game, really meshes well with Smoltz. He's great. However... To me, Buck, his voice is too clean and too sterile.
Yeah,
and,
I knew you were going to say that.
And I miss Joe Buck, who was able to give a edge and a sort of attention to the moment that Davis cannot and does not, through no fault of his own. I'm just talking about this was an incredible game last night, tons of drama and gravitas, and there wasn't an edge. It was a bright, clean, fun, nice broadcast where they were filling that dead time through the 18 innings with talks about, you know, fruits, their favorite fruits, fruit delivered. And so I'm not knocking Davis. He's objectively elite and excellent. I prefer Joe Buck.
No, I agree with you, actually. But you also have to take into consideration that this game went 6 hours long. And 18 innings.
But
and
even
so
through
you have
nine.
A lot of time to fill.
Even through nine, Joe Davis, to me, lacks the edge in his overall tenor.
Well, he's still kind of young in the business.
Oh, he's very young.
Yeah. And
very
so
handsome.
Great
hair.
It may – I'm still eating that. Thank you.
You're not eating it. You're looking at it.
Well,
I
because
make
we're
talk.
Working right now.
I know.
Without a paycheck.
Well, you would have been done if you had just left the cilantro on there, but that's a different story.
I'll
turn you down while we, Naki and I, can talk about the gambling scandal.
No, I'm happy to just watch the pasta.
So anyway, and Smoltz you like?
Smoltz is great.
Okay.
He sounds to me a lot like Jim Palmer did when in his prime.
Okay.
Their voice is very similar. Smoltz is great.
Rosenthal?
Yeah.
Bit unctuous.
Yeah.
Man who wears a bow tie.
You know. Exactly.
Be careful the man who weareth bow tie,
well,
my choice.
Ernie Johnson does, and Ernie's a very close friend.
But, so. I know. Ernie's widely known as one of the greatest guys.
He is one of the greatest guys ever.
Yes, okay.
Davis is good. Davis is good. I mean, the two of them are really good. And the production was phenomenal. Of course, they only had 14 cameras out there.
It's unreal, but I just...
Don't they have more than 14?
Is that the number?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. For some football games, it's national football games, it's that.
Buck, do you know there is a Twitter account of a TV producer in baseball who will post feeds of the control truck at times to show how the sausage gets made? And it's phenomenal. because of the complexity of sometimes what happens in baseball. And the director's like, okay, hold right here. Wait, no, he didn't tag. He didn't tag. Take two, hold two. Okay, ready, five. Five, okay, manager shot. All right, we're going to replay here. Replay A, you cue up. Okay, good. All right, X roll across. Okay, hold on a second. What's going on? Where's the manager? I mean, it's like controlled chaos.
Well, that's what they do, and they're all good at it.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Good. I want to find the clip to show you guys.
They're that's what those guys do. They're good at it.
All right. Last night, the Commanders put together an amazing first half against the Chiefs.
I texted Nockey at like 2:30 in the morning and said, too bad you went to bed because the Commanders came back and beat the Chiefs. And that was the other thing that Smoltz said that was really funny. And I swear to you, I don't know, I guess you didn't hear this. Really funny. He said, you know, the Commanders played a Monday night football game in Kansas City. They're probably home by now in their bed watching the game.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's quite possible.
It was great.
That long ago. But, yeah. So, first half, that was amazing.
Yeah, they were right there. I mean, and Kansas City did not look good.
Here you go, by the way.
Mahomes is throwing.
Take four. Ready six, take six. Ready one, take one. Ready eight. Good God. Take eight. You on gold. I like you on ready blue. Ready four, take four. I see ready you on one, y. take one. Ready I see 20, you on take it. Oh, they're fucking awesome.
There's the camera. There's the camera out on the field. You can see the camera. Yeah.
Gold is going to be first.
Take two.
Gold is going to be first.
Ready six, take six. Ready to replay to gold.
Gold.
And ready seven, take. Let me milk this a little bit.
Yeah, you're fine.
Milk it.
I got everything I need.
Ready five, take five. Ready to replay. Gold.
Gold.
Replay. Gold. Fly.
Blue reel. Track blue.
Fly it in.
That's so awesome.
That just gives me.
Have you never been in one of those trucks during a game?
Never.
Oh, that's awesome.
I would love to, but the nerd in me says these guys who you don't know, Patrick Mordofsky, producer, Mark Vitrio, director, Scott Daly. Like, these guys are the elite of the elite at doing this. And we sit there with Cheeto dust in our belly buttons, Nockey, and a routine going out to break looks like, okay. We think nothing of it. And they're melding all these elements of the TV production.
It's an art. There's no question.
Yeah. And for things that happen on the fly, there's not like a script going, okay, this guy's going to hit a home run. They got to decipher it all in real time.
No, that's what they do.
It's sports. You know, you throw curveballs and as the game goes along.
All right, so the Commanders put together a great first half, amazing 7-7 first half, and I'm like, could they possibly pull this off?
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs made a couple tweaks, flexed in the second half.
You just had a feeling that it wasn't going to last.
Just stuffed them in a trash can.
You just had that feeling. As good as they played in the first half, you knew there was a difference in talent level or whatever you want to call it, and Kansas City's a good team, and they're starting to play well now. You just had this feeling that it just couldn't last in the second half.
So we're now what?
3-5.
And so we're looking at two more games.
At
Seattle and Detroit at home. And then if they lose those two, quite possible, we'll see when Daniels comes back. They got to go find 6 of 7 wins. They got 7 games left after this stretch. I don't see it. To get to 9, and 9 may not get you anything in the NFC this year.
Every possible break that they could get, they got last year.
They did.
To get to where they did. And they won every close game. The Hail Mary is obviously a part of that, but I mean – they played at Detroit when Detroit had no defensive players available. You know, I mean, and that's I'm not minimizing the season. It was awesome.
You're being honest. You're just saying.
That pendulum swings. You know, you're not guaranteed the breaks the next season, and we're seeing it between the injuries, which are real.
Yeah,
McLaurin and Samuel. Those are your two.
And Daniels,
of course. But
McLaurin had 3 catches last night, 2 of them spectacular. 2 of them that had to be
fixed. They were unbelievable.
Fixed by replay because he is this sideline master.
And here's
the
other
thing. Body control, feet, legs, you name it. He will catch the ball and stay in bounds around the sideline.
Those 2 catches were as good as any I've seen. But here's the thing, too, about replay, and this is getting to be a little bit crazy. You know, when the guy catches the ball, they'll freeze the video. That doesn't mean he's got the ball. It's basically in his hands.
Yeah.
But they've frozen the video. So they're like, Troy Aikman's like, well, he's got control of the ball. He's made the catch. He hasn't made the catch yet. We're freezing the video with the ball like this. We need to let it play a little bit.
One frame in a probable 240 frame per second high-speed slow-mo video.
Having said that, those catches were phenomenal.
As an aside, college basketball, because of the incessant replays last year in the tournament, put in a new rule this year.
Oh, good.
So coaches get one challenge. So you can only challenge one of four different things: goaltending, block charge, out of bounds calls. I forget what the fourth one is, but if you and officials won't go to the replay unless you say I want that reviewed. And if you lose the review, you lose your one ask and you're done.
Well, what if you're right on your ask?
Then
you get another one.
I think it's two.
They should do this for the NBA.
And the other thing they should do is every game. At every college basketball game has that shot clock. Put the 30 seconds up there. Start it. You got 30 seconds to look if you're an official.
Oh, I know. Well, that's what happened. For the last several years, they've been looking at fingertips on basketballs forever. Did it graze? Did it deflect?
If you haven't seen anything to change it in 30 seconds,
move on.
Yeah, play on.
Plus, it was never meant the way the rules called that if you punch the ball out of somebody's hands and you caused it to go out. The point was you caused it to go out. It's out on you. It's not out on the fingertips that were the last ones to graze it.
And I'm surprised they have a challenge on a block charge. That's interesting.
It's the block charge actually has to do with the half moon.
Whether you're in it or not.
Because otherwise it's a judgment, subjectivity.
They've taken the charge kind of out of college basketball.
Yeah. Now, did you see last night, for the first time I had seen this, maybe it's happened in other games, the digital first down chains?
That was a little bizarre to me. I guess we're going in that direction.
Bizarre or fucking stupid?
Well, maybe bizarre / stupid.
This is my biggest argument from people that used to harp on this.
Wait. Are you going to tell us that you were once a part of a chain gang, too?
No.
But he had to wear the uniform.
Listen, I've always wanted to be a chain gang guy. That'd be an awesome job. You're up close watching NFL games. Minimal responsibility.
Those guys get trucked. They get trucked.
I know. No more they don't.
They're going the way of newspapers. They're just about done.
So for several years, I have been driven to wit's end by otherwise smart people that cover the NFL on social media bitching. We got a $4 billion league, and we got 70-year-old men with a pair of sticks and a chain. Surely there's a better way to do this. And so they kept harping on this, and I'm like, you guys know that the chains are low tech but very accurate. They're low tech but very accurate.
10 yards.
They're perfect. 10 yards. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, stop complaining about this, especially when the spot is subjective.
Right. The spot is very subjective.
Right. So, of course, on this play, Zach Ertz catches a pass. It looks like he's got the first. They then place the ball, and instead of bringing out the chains, a referee just sits there on one knee and waits in his ear for some fuckwad in New York to decide whether it's short or not. And then they showed a graphic, which was 5 inches short.
Right.
And the jokes were going from there. Well, 5 inches, that's not much.
Right.
Depends on what you were expecting.
Yeah.
And are you measuring that from the base or not?
And they need to make that graphic better. It looked a little childish to me.
Of course it did.
It looked like a video game.
It took twice as long as two old men with a pair of chains, and it was no more accurate, and it didn't make any difference because it's subjective as to where you place it.
So that then begs the question, when is baseball going to do that with the strike zone? Because I texted Naki last night.
Last night, the guy behind the plate made two
horrible
calls, one of which led to a pickoff because nobody knew what the fuck was going on.
So inconsistent. Umpires are so inconsistent.
Well, Rumble Ump's coming next year. You got the tap next year. You can challenge next year in baseball.
They are the most inconsistent officials in all of sports because
you mispronounce corrupt.
Well, no.
I'm sorry. You mispronounced inconsistent.
Let's hope they're not corrupt.
No, they're not.
I mean, you look at that strike zone they put up there on the replays, and you can now I understand it's a judgment thing. I get all of that, but sometimes the exact same pitch for one guy will be a ball, and the exact same pitch for another guy will be a strike. And I get it. You're a human. You're standing behind there. You're going to make these judgment errors, if you want to call them errors. You're going to make these judgments. But at some point, because of what we've done with transparency and with replay, at some point that's going to be all electronic. You won't even have – you'll have an umpire back there maybe to make a call at the end of a play at the plate.
Right. All right. Two-minute warning, then we're out of here. Thank you very much for coming by today. Thank you for the Palm and Tyson's Corner for the Power Lunch. Come on by and have your Power Lunch here at the Palm. Give me a minute on Cignetti. Just signed an insanely huge deal with Indiana. Formerly turned your program, the Dukes, around. JMU.
He did, and I will have to say that while all of us, nobody can fault him for going there, because I think at JMU he was making around $700,000 a year, which is a lot for JMU. He went to Indiana for $4 million a year, and then when he went 11-0, they doubled his salary, and now he just signed this extension for $90 million.
What did you say you guys at JMU call him now?
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. No, it was a joke about he did take how many players?
13, and four of them start, and one of them, Elijah Surratt, they say he's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft, and the other kid against UCLA the other day, who they just destroyed, Aiden Fisher, linebacker, picked off a pass on the first play of the game and ran it in for a touchdown. These kids are good. Had they stayed at JMU, we'd still be ranked in the top 25 like they were when he was there. So we fault him. The reason we faulted him, I say we, the people, all my JMU friends, is because he left before our bowl game. Now, there's got to be a rule in college sport. You can't, if you're a coach and you're
what
taking a job.
What bowl was it? It was Blue Bonnet?
No, I don't know. We played Air
the
Force Poulin Academy.
The Poulan Weed Eater?
It was the military bowl, I think.
Oh, the vaunted military bowl.
Yeah. At any rate.
The shame that he left before the military bowl.
The reason I was told that he left, and this makes me understand it a little bit better, is because recruiting.
Yeah.
He was not stealing players.
Well, the
stealing
not recruits. It was the portal. And they had a window for the portal. And had he not gone to Indiana, he might have missed that window and not been able to bring kids in there. We get that. He's just not – He's
not remembered fondly because he left you guys in a lurch.
Well, that – he took 13 of our players, and if you saw him when he went to Indiana, the first press conference, they said to him, "Who is Kurt Cignetti?" And he said, "I win. Google me."
It's the greatest
line. That was his response.
I know. It's the greatest coaching line I've ever heard,
okay.
And he's continuing to win.
He's amazing.
For now. But things change, man.
Yeah, they change, but things he's
changed. And that will live on forever.
Oh,
and
it's
that
could
come back to haunt you.
But
you
that's
know?
A basketball school, and they're ranked second in the country in football.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn amazing.
I urge people to not Google me. Because most of the results
are not good. Yeah.
No,
there's some bad stuff in there.
Well, you know, lots of it's not true. And that night in Juarez,
right.
The donkey belonged to the farmer, and the farmer said it was fine.
You had nothing to do with it.
Okay? So don't believe everything you see.
You're just helping the donkey over the fence.
Your pants were on the whole time.
All right. The DC Coaches Basketball Podcast available wherever you get your podcast. Episodes drop when?
Starting next week. We record November 4th.
Maryland basketball's next game, first official game is?
Coppin State on Monday. Georgetown next Friday.
Awesome.
Ooh. Georgetown, and it's a 6 o'clock start in College Park on a Friday night.
Good luck to you.
I'm leaving for the game now.
No, I would say Thursday night you get yourself a little hotel room at the Marriott. I give you some points.
Okay.
And then you stay over. That's what I do when I play golf at Worthington Manor.
Games can be heard on?
Yeah, it's a network, and you can find us at umterps.com.
Umterps.com. Yep. The life of Buck Hance continues unabated.
JMU football tonight on ESPN2.
You're calling it.
No, I'm not calling it, but I'm watching it.
Nice.
At Texas State.
Right. And then you're going to Scottsdale to play some golf with friends on Thursday. Good for you.
Yep.
How many rounds in how many days?
6 rounds in 11 days, I believe.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a life this guy leads.
It's unbelievable.
I just want to bask in the tertiary glow.
I just like being near him.
It's nice. I get that aura from him, which is good.
Yeah.
I am going to have a very special moment. I'm going to get to interview Michael Brennan,
awesome.
A young man who won the PGA Tour event in Utah. He's from Leesburg, Virginia, and he's going to be part of our Capital Golf Gang podcast. So I'm going to see him tonight in his parents' house, and I'm going to go, try not to be Chris Farley from SNL.
You remember when
that drive you hit that went 20 feet off the ground? That was awesome. How do you do that? Teach me how to do that. One of our boys, Ronnie, said, Ronis could teach you that shot. I go, I'm not learning that shot at all.
Yeah.
I'm finally finding some fairways with my current driver, 235 off the tee. That's fine. I'm not learning a new stinger. That's going to screw me up. All right, boys, thanks. We'll see everyone next time. Thanks for listening. And thank you to The Palm, as always, for being a great host. I'm
just an ordinary demigod.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.